Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Friday, a daily podcast for Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. A code red air quality alert is in place for northwestern and central Virginia today, as well as the Richmond area. This includes the Charlottesville area and Fredericksburg. A code red means air pollution is generally unhealthy for the general population, and the impacts can be minimized by avoiding strenuous activity or exercise outdoors. The state's Department of Environmental Quality says children, the elderly, and those with respiratory or heart disease are most at risk. Drought conditions persist across Virginia, with the Roanoke Valley and areas further southeast, including Bedford, Danville, and Martinsville, reaching an emergency status this week. As Radio IQ meteorologist Nick Gilmore reports, local, regional, and state officials are stressing the need for more Virginians to conserve water.
Standing beside the drier-than-usual Smith Mountain Lake, Governor Abigail Spanberger made something abundantly clear.
As governor, I do not want us to need mandatory practices to conserve water.
So far, the ask has been voluntary. Only washing your car if necessary, taking shorter showers, things like that. But mandatory restrictions could be necessary at some point, as the situation has reached historic levels.
We are in the second driest water year on record.
While this particular region is the hardest hit, most areas across the state are about 8 inches below where they should be from a total rainfall perspective this year. In other words, your typical pop-up shower or storm in the summer months isn't going to solve the problem. Virginia was in a similar situation about 24 years ago, according to David Bulova, Secretary of Natural and Historic Resources. In the wake of that drought, the state took a couple of steps to prepare for future ones. That included creating the Drought Monitoring Task Force and developing a plan for coordination between the state and its localities. That's vital for Virginians who are used to just turning on a faucet when they need water.
And Virginians rely on a lot of different systems. You've got the really large public systems, you've got smaller systems.
Right now, the water systems that supply water to the Roanoke Valley and significant parts of central and southside Virginia are managing. And officials hope that everyone pitching in and doing their part to conserve water will keep it that way. At Smith Mountain Lake, I'm Nick Gilmore.
Earlier this month, the Western Virginia Water Authority implemented voluntary conservation measures, asking customers to reduce their water use. Water Authority Executive Director Mike McAvoy told its board its reservoirs are holding up despite the drought.
The reservoirs are looking great, 65% full at Carpens Cove. The rain we had slowed the rate of descent there. We've actually added 2 feet of water in the Spring Hollow Reservoir. We're at 18 feet down or 77.8%. So doing what they're supposed to be doing, both of those are more than 400 days of available capacity.
A Water Authority spokesperson says the region is still, quote, pretty far away from mandatory restrictions, but things could change. The state's Drought Monitoring Task Force declared a drought emergency in the Roanoke Valley and parts of Southside Wednesday, but water restrictions are still just voluntary. Meanwhile, the water levels at Smith Mountain and Leesville Lakes have been down several feet this summer, creating dangerous conditions for boaters. The dams that forms the lakes are operated by Appalachian Power as a hydroelectric project, and the company has to release a mandated volume of water to keep the Roanoke River flowing downstream. Now the company says it has permission from state regulators to release less water that will help slow the drops in lake levels if the drought continues. Appalachian says there will still be enough water moving downstream for ecological purposes, but recreation activities could be impacted. Google has announced plans to build 3 data center campuses in Chesterfield County, a major investment aimed at expanding its cloud and AI infrastructure. According to the Richmond Times-Dispatch, local officials say the project could bring hundreds of jobs and millions in revenue, but residents are raising concerns about energy use, water demand, and traffic. County leaders promised transparency as environmental reviews move forward. Data centers have been a hot topic across Virginia for months now, and that includes how much water the facilities need to keep their servers cool. During her visit to Smith Mountain Lake Thursday, Governor Abigail Spanberger was asked about the voluntary request for Virginians to conserve water, even while data centers need so much of it. She said that she's not going to, quote, defend any large industry when everyday Virginians are being impacted, but
we have had record low rainfall for nearly 1 year, And that is the primary central cause of these drought conditions. The types of decisions that we are making, whether it's counterparts in the General Assembly or ultimately those of us within the administration, do need to be grounded in the real evidence, the real data.
The governor pointed to a 2024 study from the legislature's watchdog agency that found data centers account for 0.5% of the water draw statewide. Additionally, the General Assembly also included water usage language and a consumption tax on those facilities within the budget agreement that was passed last month. Up ahead, there are a few concerns in a new VCU poll regarding Governor Spanberger, and there were updates this week regarding a May FBI raid on Senator Louise Lucas's office. That and more will be discussed by analysts Jeff Shapiro and Michael Pope in their Friday conversation. That's up in just a little bit. Dominion Energy and NextEra have filed paperwork to merge the companies. Dominion is Virginia's largest electric utility. The company says the merger would mean bill credits for Virginia customers and that it will maintain a corporate headquarters in Virginia. The State Corporation Commission now has 6 months to review the proposed merger. Opponents say that's not enough time for a deal this big and potentially consequential. They argue NextEra wants the Commonwealth's booming data center industry as a customer and will stick Virginians with the bill. Arlington's top prosecutor is answering questions about her performance on the job. But as Michael Pope tells us, the question and answer session in Washington is not open to the public or the press.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Jim Jordan, can you hear me? Because we got something to say, Jim.
That's Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner appearing at a Capitol Hill rally in support of Arlington Prosecutor Parissa DeGatti Tafti shortly before her closed-door testimony to Jim Jordan's House Judiciary Committee.
It is no wonder they want to do their dirt in the dark. Because if we were all watching these questions and these answers, we would see Parissa DeGatti Tafti, who is as capable as they come, as good a communicator as there is, and as moral a person as I've met, we would see her wreck them. Question after question.
Also at the rally was Congressman Don Beyer of Alexandria.
And he's choosing to do this not in public, where the press can see it, where it can be covered live on C-SPAN and everything else, but behind closed doors, despite Parissa's many requests to have this done, sunshine, in public hearing where everybody can hear it.
Last month, members of the committee had a similar hearing with the Fairfax County prosecutor, but that one was open to the public. Since that time, House Republicans have changed their approach. Reporting from Capitol Hill, I'm Michael Pope.
Authorities in the Philippines have arrested three suspects in the killing of American marine biologist Kent Carpenter, a longtime professor at Old Dominion University. Police say the men broke into Carpenter's home in a planned robbery, shooting the 73-year-old. Investigators say the attack does not appear connected to Carpenter's scientific work. The Virginia Creeper Trail will fully reopen this spring, nearly 2.5 years after it was damaged by Hurricane Helene. The U.S. Forest Service announced Thursday the section of the trail from White Top Mountain to the town of Damascus will reopen March 31st. That area has been undergoing extensive repairs since the remnants of Helene hit in September 2024. Another section of the trail from Damascus to Abingdon has remained open. The trail is a vital tourist draw in that area in southwest Virginia. Former Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin has been keeping a low profile since leaving office in January, but he's not out of the spotlight entirely. Youngkin recently joined Fairfax-based investment firm Red Cell as chairman and partner. According to the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Red Cell, which is based in Tyson's Corner, works in national security, cyber, and healthcare. A new poll dings Governor Spanberger, and there's new fallout from a federal investigation of Senator Louise Lucas. Radio IQ politics analyst Jeff Shapiro and Michael Pope recap the week in politics and state government.
All right, a lot of news to get to this week, starting with a new poll from Virginia Commonwealth University. Jeff Shapiro, this poll says the governor has slightly more disapproval than approval.
That's right, Michael. The VCU poll through its Wilder School indicates that the governor is not underwater exactly, but she's treading water. 47% of respondents, these were adults, not voters, disapprove of her performance as governor. 44% approve. But that's within the margin of error, approximately 5%. The point here is this is consistent with a poll earlier in this very young administration. I think the governor's endorsement of that anti-Trump gerrymander, which of course was reversed by the Virginia Supreme Court, that didn't help. And I don't know that the governor was necessarily helped by this protracted budget fight that dragged on and on and on, and of course was not Republican versus Democrat, but Democrat versus Democrat. One other point about this poll, there are some interesting findings regarding data centers. 7 in 10 Virginians oppose the continued sales tax breaks for these data centers. That was something that Senator Lucas, the finance chair, tried to do away with. Governor resisted, saying we can't change the rules. But 81% align with the governor in the view that data centers should be paying more for the electricity that they gobble and that burden that that puts on the grid. And as you know, the budget includes that user fee as recommended by the governor.
And we learned this week that the FBI has been listening in on telephone conversations of prominent Virginia journalists. What are they hearing?
Well, it's not entirely clear what they're hearing, but this is all part of this Justice Department investigation of Senator Louise Lucas. It's not exactly clear what the government is looking for, if it's looking for anything. We're told, of course, that this investigation started during the Biden years, but it seemed to swell anew under the Trump administration. And of course, Senator Lucas has been anything but kind in her assessment of the President of the United States.
And meanwhile, the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. is trying to get its hands on Virginia's voter list. What do they want to do with this list?
Well, again, this has a lot to do with what Donald Trump keeps telling Americans, that, you know, somehow his word, the political system, the electoral system is rigged. A federal judge has told the administration that it can't have these statewide voter rolls. Again, this is going to arouse, renew suspicions that Trump is trying to meddle, if you will, using his words, rig the 2026 midterms. In the judge's decision, it was made clear that this request, at least in the view of the court, has nothing to do with these elections. Also, this is important. The Trump administration is sending in poll watchers ahead of the August 4th congressional primary, and that they're being sent into areas of the state where there are strong, strong feelings against Donald Trump, again, is going to feed suspicions that the administration is playing fast and loose, or attempting to play fast and loose, with the Virginia electoral system.
And then finally, former Governor Glenn Youngkin has a new gig. What is he up to?
Yeah, the guy who didn't have a job and really doesn't need one has one, and he's going back to his roots, the investment business, a venture capital firm. Interesting, it's going to be investing in a lot of businesses that apparently make a lot of money doing business with the federal government. Does it bring to mind the Trump notion of the swamp?
Well, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we have been joined by politics analyst and UVA scholar Jeff Shapiro. Talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure.
In the forecast, smoke from Canadian wildfires will create poor air quality, especially across the Shenandoah Valley in northern Virginia. Hot, partly sunny today. Air quality alerts for much of the state, and highs in the upper 80s to mid-90s, 94 for Danville and Richmond. Tonight, partly cloudy, showers or storms possible in the southwest. Smoky conditions will continue, lows around 70. Showers and storms are likely Saturday, especially by the afternoon and evening. Highs from 81 in Wise to 95 for Roanoke, Richmond, and Fredericksburg. Sunday, partly sunny skies. Afternoon showers and storms are possible, highs in the low 80s to around 90 degrees. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Boxer.